This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another Click Nation Comic Book Chronicles. I'm your host, Tim Dio Double G, and tonight I'm joined by a very special guest. We have Fogs. I'm sorry, I can't even pronounce the name right. Fogs.
That's all right.
From Fogs Movie Review, correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yes, he... Well, basically, let me tell you what we're talking about tonight. We're discussing the Comic-Con 2012 International that took place last weekend in San Diego, or SDCC for the hashtag people out there. And, of course, it started out as a convention for all comic book people to get together and try to talk to different artists and get breaking news. But over the years, it's evolved into more than just comics. It's more of a... all media convention.
Super event.
Yeah,
right.
Super event. Because everyone loves to go there and take some of the stars from their films or TV shows or different projects and announce breaking news to the audience. And so I figured I was going to already do either a blog post or a podcast concerning some of the news that came out from Comic-Con. But I guess it was last Saturday morning, I woke up and I was checking Twitter, and what did I see but folks already tweeting whilst I believe you were already in line for something.
For Hall H, yeah. Yeah, Saturday I was in the big auditorium at the end of the convention center where they hold all the big movie panels. And yeah, that was madness. Saturday was madness.
So I thought instead of just myself and maybe someone else talking about some of the news that came out, why don't we get some news from someone that was actually there?
The first-hand report, man, can't beat it.
So before we get into the Comic-Con stuff, why don't you let the listeners know a little bit about yourself?
All right, I'm just a movie blogger. My name is Dan Fogarty. That's why I go with Fogs. It's been my nickname ever since I was growing up. So it's just a handle that I use around the net. And I have a movie blog. It's FogsMovieReviews.com. But I also do a weekly podcast, which I believe is how I got hooked up with you guys.
Yeah.
With Chris Tansky. And he's from the Under Scoop Fire podcast. But the podcast that we do together is the Title Pending Movie Podcast with Tank and Fogs. And that's been doing really well. We're quickly approaching our one-year anniversary on that puppy. Time flies on these things, Tim.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's coming right up.
Y'all have anything special for the 100th episode?
No, I wouldn't. We're probably only going to get about 40 episodes in our first year because we had some fall, some weeks fell through the cracks, especially early on. Early on, I don't even think we were weekly, but... yeah, we're thinking about doing a clip show just because it would be fun, like a highlight show. Mm-hmm. That might be neat, okay. Go back over the episodes and my only thing is that would cause me to listen to like 20 hours of my own podcast.
Yeah, I always think that's every time, like, when I think about doing something special, it's like, why don't I go back and get some, you know, funny clips and mash them all together from episodes? But then that would involve actually going back and spending hours upon hours of going through audio.
That's what I'm talking about right there. So I don't know. We'll see. It's up in the air.
All right.
I know we're going to be doing something special for the Skyfall. That's kicking off. The new James Bond movie's coming out in November. So
oh, that's going to be the name of it?
Well, yeah. Skyfall is the new James Bond flick. And Chris and I, Tank, we're definitely going to be doing like a couple of episodes just dedicated to James Bond. So
right.
Getting excited about that. But outside from that, I'm not sure.
Yeah, over on the Click Nation podcast, we did spend a lot of time with some of the more summer blockbuster movies because a lot of the guys on the show there, well, of course, we're all big movie fans, but like Mr. Banff, he's big into movies, and we were looking for material for shows each week, try to, like you said, so we don't miss a week. And
right.
We said, well, why don't we just do stuff on all these movies coming out?
But, there you go.
It's going to be funny because the summer blockbuster season's about over after The Dark Knight Rises comes out. So we've got a couple of ideas in the pipeline. So hopefully we'll keep the shows fresh for everyone.
Cool, man.
So with that out of the way, let's get into a couple of questions I had written down concerning Comic-Con and you specifically.
All right.
First question I had was this your first time ever attending Comic-Con?
No, this was my third trip out to San Diego for Comic-Con.
What, do you remember what year the first time was?
Yep. I went in 2009, and then I skipped 2010 and went back last year in 2011, and now this year.
Oh, okay.
So they've all been relatively recent. I've gone 3 out of the past 4.
I was going to say, where in the country do you live?
I'm in Connecticut. I'm up in New England.
Okay. I was just curious as far as, you know, how long of a trek that was.
Yeah, it's the whole way.
Same here. I'm down in Georgia, so if I...
Yeah, I'm not just across country. I'm also diagonally up in the corner compared to San Diego, so I'm going the whole way diagonally across.
How long of a flight is that?
Geez, well, there's layovers and stuff. I think it's only like 6 hours in the air or something, you know, if you were able to get a straight flight, but you never can.
Yeah.
You've always got changeovers and stuff.
Where'd you change over this year?
Baltimore on the way out and Denver on the way back in.
Baltimore, I'm not that good at geography, but Baltimore and Connecticut aren't that far.
Nope. It was a quick little flight. The thing is that Hartford's airport is a small airport, so,
oh, okay. So
you can't get a direct flight to like anywhere. It doesn't seem.
Oh, okay.
So you know you've always got to connect to either JFK or down to Baltimore, and you know, and then from there you can go where you need to go.
The early part of this podcast is going to be me picking your brain because ever since last year, I was like, man, I need to start going to some comic book conventions. And, of course, the San Diego one is the biggest one of
the year.
It's
the king. But New York isn't that bad if you're on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And right down in – if you're in Georgia, they have Dragon Con. I've heard that that's
– yeah, that's in Atlanta, which is like a little over an hour away from where I'm at now. The only problem is Dragon Con is always that Labor Day weekend, and I'm always kind of busy that weekend.
Yeah, it's not really comic book either. From what I understand, that's like sci-fi and more straight up like TV movie stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas like New York Comic Con or even Baltimore Comic Con are a lot of comic book stuff.
Yeah, some of my coworkers, they've attended Comic Con, not Comic Con, but Dragon Con. So I keep saying 1 year I'm going to make it. That New York one would be pretty interesting to go to. That's in the fall, right?
Yeah, it's in October. So it's easy to get tickets. You know, it's – I don't know how far it would be from Georgia. For me, it's only, you know, a couple-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I head in and I head out and I'm back in bed the same night. You know, I'm not staying overnight or anything. So, yeah, it's not as big. It's definitely not – this. It's just a little unfair to compare the two.
Yeah. So I guess the San Diego Comic-Con, that starts on, does it start on Wednesday or Thursday?
It starts on Wednesday with a preview night where only people that bought passes for all 4 days are able to get in on the floor.
Okay.
Preview night's a little bit, I don't know, it's not that great. It's, you get to see the floor, but there's no costumes. It's really just good to see the layout and what all the vendors have brought for, like, displays. Mm-hmm. Because, like, all the major studios and, you know, television networks and toy manufacturers will set up their displays, and they all have, like, giant figures or what have you. You know, you'll see a Transformer that's, like, 18 feet high.
Right.
Cars from the actual, like last year, the DeLorean from Back to the Future was there. This year it was Kit from Knight Rider. There's always stuff like that. So you get to see that first. But it's really, it doesn't quite have that madness that the next few days do.
I guess when I think of the San Diego Comic-Con, because, you know, G4 starts showing coverage on early Saturday, I remember watching it this past year. But anyway, it's just, you know, all the crowd is surrounding their stage where they have everything set up. So I always, when I think of Comic-Con now, I just think of, you know, people standing around at, you know, the G4 booth or where interviews are being held. And I kind of forget that, I guess, there are, you know, studios or companies set up with booths or vendors so people can walk around and look at different merchandise.
It's exactly like that. It's a huge convention hall. It's all one big floor, and there's distinct areas. Like down at one end is what they call Artist Alley, mm-hmm. where all the comic book artists will set up their booths and do signings, sketches for people, etc.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle is where all the like high profile, like real movie studios like Fox or Lionsgate or, you know, the real Warner Brothers will set up a, you know, a booth and they'll be promoting their most recent movies or whatever. There's always some kind of, you can get into a little mini theater and see something or get a giveaway or whatever. And that's where G4 has their camp set up.
Of course.
Yeah. And then if you go all the way down the other end, it's just like a huge flea market where like all the comic book vendors come and there's just more comic books than you've ever even seen in your life. And all the toy vendors have their booths set up where you could buy toys and stuff. So it really is cool. It's a great mix, if you will.
So which of those three, the left, the middle, and I guess right, which did you spend most of your time at?
I basically stroll up and down through the whole thing, probably in the middle. On the floor, it's mainly about, you know, after a while, you're able to hit all the booths and everything. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you're just kind of strolling around trying to see all the costumes because people come in costume. Like,
what costume did you wear on the flight out there?
I did not go in costume. One of these years I'm going to have to go in costume just to end this question. But I have never attended in costume to Comic-Con.
Good for you. I don't know if I definitely, but maybe not, definitely not the first time going out there, but maybe I'm.
I used to say, Tim. I used to say I never would because it was just too geeky to me. You know what I mean? I mean, like, come on. Now I never would because I've seen what these people in costume go through. Mm-hmm. They can't get 5 feet.
Like people stopping them.
Yeah, they're walking and they're like, "Batman, Batman, turn around!" And then they're taking pictures and then they'll take like two more steps and someone else rushes up, "Batman, Batman." You know, it's crazy.
I was about to say, you get to feel like a celebrity, though.
They do. I think that's why they do it, though.
Yeah, they get the. Pretend they're one of their heroes or villains that they look up to.
The fun thing is there's all different makes and models of costumes. Let's just say they're not all created equal, Tim.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's some people that literally just break out the old Halloween mask. And then there's other people that you're just like, oh my God, how long did you work on that thing? And you're like, you must be so psychotic.
Spend a lot of time on that R2-D2 C-3PO get up.
Yeah, and it's one person who's got like both.
It is like the R2-D2 just like attached to the leg portion of the costume.
I'm telling you.
He has to move and carry both of them with him.
Yeah, people are psycho. It happens.
So you said the first time you went was 2009, right?
Yeah, yes.
It was only a couple of years ago. I was going to ask, have you been able to tell any large difference from the first time you went to now?
Yeah. It's changed a lot over the years, but not while I've been attending. From what you hear from people at the con, you know, that are like local and have been coming for decades and whatever,
mm-hmm.
Is that it really started to get Hollywood heavy this last decade with the release of Spider-Man and the X-Men movies,
right,
and all this superhero movie renaissance. They started to do a lot of promoting at Comic-Con because it only made sense. And then the other studios saw the marketing buzz that was happening off of this, and they determined that it was a good place for them to advertise and to get a lot of media publicity, you know, for cheap, really.
Right.
But studios have been going to Comic-Con since Star Wars. Star Wars was the first one to attend. George Lucas brought Star Wars to the geeks at Comic-Con in 75 or 76 to test some things out.
That's something I didn't even know. And I'm a Star Wars fan, so.
Yeah. So he brought it there. And then, you know, I don't know if there's movies in the meantime. I'm sure there were. But it really did start to pick up around, you know, turn of the century. You know, that's why I go out. I mean, I love comic books. I'm on and off with them, whether I'm into them or not. I'm not right now, but that doesn't mean I don't still love them. The thing is that I wouldn't travel all the way across the country if it was just going to be a comic book convention.
Yeah. Even I don't think I'd do, even though it'd be a good excuse to go out to California since I've never been. But yeah, since it mixes the comics with the movies, with the TV, with the toys, you get the best of everything.
You do. Now, do you collect? Do you do some toy collecting?
Not toy collecting. One of the other members of the Click Nation, Mr. Banff, he's a kind of a toy enthusiast, and so he's more the toys. I'm more paying attention to the comics and the TV and the movies.
Because they do a lot of toy displays out there, too. Like, all the toy companies set up everything that's coming out. And you're just walking through these massive dioramas. I mean, just whoever set these things up has the greatest job ever, you know? Huge glass cases with hundreds of figures fighting each other. And I'm like, I want that job.
Did they end up going back home with you on the flight back to Connecticut?
Not this year. In past years, they have. But this year, I was really trying to cover the event for the site.
Oh, okay.
And I was just a little too burnt out at the end of everything. I was like, oh, whatever, you know?
So yeah, you said you go for the toys and the movies majority, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Not that I haven't gotten a comic book or two signed in my day. But
who'd you go with this year?
This year I actually went solo, but I did meet some coverage for a website called Cineplex.com, which is up in Canada. Cineplex is the major movie theater chain in Canada.
Okay.
I don't know exactly how many theaters they have, but it's like an AMC or a Lowe's here.
Okay.
And so I did some coverage for their blog, and I met their content. I'm trying to think of her official title. It's not... it's like a VP of content or something like that. And we met up and did a bunch of time in line together and whatnot. I wanted to go with my friend. The last couple of years, I've gone with one of my friends from college.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his idea, actually, to go out the first time and I wanted to. We just didn't communicate properly. We both thought we weren't going. You know, I had told him I wasn't going, and then when I changed my mind, I didn't fill him back in because he had told me he wasn't going to go, but he changed his mind too.
Did he end up going?
No, we both tried to get tickets, and I succeeded, and he did. So that's why I'm a little bummed out, because I could have gotten him a ticket.
Well, yeah, I guess you have to. Yeah, let me talk about that real quick. So I guess, of course, you can buy a ticket and go to San Diego anytime you want to. But to actually get inside the where do they hold the event at?
It's in the San Diego Convention Center, and they get, I think they say they get about 250,000 people through over the course of the 4 days. Mm-hmm. Tickets sell out usually in about 90 minutes. So it's like a big concert. You got to be online. You got to know when it's going to go on sale. Mm-hmm. There's some pre-registration stuff you got to do. And you got to be sitting there and you got to be ready to pull the trigger. So
that's stressful.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
And I guess if you don't mind me asking, how much –
No, I don't mind.
How the ticket prices, how does that work? Do you have to buy, like, packages or, like, single ticket or
– I want to buy every year the four-day pass because I'm not going to travel across country and just do a day.
Right.
You know, I want to be able to do all 4 days. Last year, the four-day passes sold out before I could get one. Mm-hmm. So I wound up actually buying a ticket for each day individually.
Which probably runs you more, right?
Yeah, it was more expensive. It was a little bit more of a pain because you have to show up each morning to pick up your ticket. You want to get the four-day thing because then you can go with preview night and it's simplified and it's a little cheaper. And you can also get the invite back early. Now if I want to go next year, which I'm probably going to, I have a shot at purchasing a ticket early.
Oh, okay. So if you go, I guess, do they keep your name on a list?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
They have a mailing thing.
It's kind of like the Masters.
Yeah, exactly.
That thing. Right.
Have you ever been to the Masters?
Yes, I've been twice, and that's because my boss, his wife, has had tickets in her family for who knows how long.
Nice.
So every day, you know, he has two tickets. And, of course, the Masters runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know, driving from where I'm at to Augusta is a little over an hour, so he's not going to go every day. So, like, one a day, like, usually, I think he gave me a ticket, his two tickets for a Friday 1 year, and the other year was a Sunday, I believe.
Sweet, though.
So,
that's really cool.
Yeah, that worked out pretty nice.
Nice.
So, let's see, what else do we have here? Which panels did you attend when you went this year?
I saw a bunch of panels. I got pretty lucky on Thursday, and I wound up I actually had to sit through the Twilight panels. I wound up getting in earlier than I thought. The lines at Comic-Con are a force to be reckoned with. That's the whole trick, is how early do you get in line for what you want to see?
Yeah.
And I really wanted to see Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone promoting The Expendables 2.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing Stallone and Schwarzenegger together on the same panel, that's trippy to me. And it was a great time. I did get in, but I got in line way too early. So I wound up sitting through Twilight, and then Disney had a panel where they did Tim Burton promoted Frank and Weenie, John C. Reilly was doing Wreck-It Ralph, and Sam Raimi brought out Mila Kunis and Michelle Williams for Oz the Great and Powerful. Yeah, they were surprise. Surprise guest. I was like, yeah, nice treat. So that was Thursday, and then, at night they had Arnold and Sly, and that was incredible.
So, I guess, so technically if you wanted to make sure you got to see a panel, if it was, like a late afternoon panel, you could technically go and sit in on the early morning panels and just stay in the hall? They don't make everyone get out?
No, and that's part of the trick in how and why you get in, because then on Friday they had panels for The Walking Dead and for Game of Thrones. And then following that was a Sony panel that had a bunch of movies, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Matt Damon and Jodie Foster were going to be there. And that was the one that I wanted to see at the end. I had already seen a Walking Dead panel. I've already seen a Game of Thrones panel.
Mm-hmm.
You can only spend so much time in the auditorium. But it was all this calculation on, you know, will the theater empty out after these? And this line is so huge, and you just don't know. So I wound up on Friday not getting in.
Hmm.
And then on Saturday was the big day. And
yeah, that's when I saw you tweeting.
Yeah. I got in line at 10 after 5, and I was half a mile back.
Wow.
The campers alone were just crazy. They weren't just camped out in front of Hall H. They were all the way around the back of the building with sleeping bags. It was nuts. Hmm. I've never seen anything like it. But I did wind up getting in. My seats weren't even that bad. I was about midway through the auditorium. And that day kicked off with Quentin Tarantino, Jamie Foxx, and Christoph Waltz, and Kerry Washington promoting Django Unchained, mm-hmm. which was great, and it was great to see Quentin Tarantino. Then they went to Warner Brothers, and I got the first look at the new Man of Steel movie, which looked pretty good, but they didn't bring a lot, so it's hard to tell, you know?
I read that they actually did show, I guess, some scenes from it, right?
Yeah, they basically brought a long trailer, you know, like a movie trailer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just wasn't the trailer itself, the content in it. You know, there was a lot of talking and a lot of shots of the characters and not like a lot of action, and you couldn't really get a good feel for the story. Basically, I've gotten to see Henry Cavill in a suit and a couple of, you know, I saw him with fire all over him. And I saw him flying.
Fire.
You know, and that's about it. Yeah, fire.
Did he look impressive, though?
Yeah, he looked fine. I wish they had shown a little more, I guess, is where I'm getting at with it.
See, the promo image they released from it, you know, the sort of the him standing in a, like a dark room close up on the S, it looked a lot like Brandon Routh instead of Henry Cavill.
Yeah, that's a movie I just want to shake right out of my head. Superman Returns. I wish I hadn't seen it. He looked fine. I mean, but it's just way too early to tell. Yeah. And they didn't really have anybody, you know. Aside from him, they only brought the director, Zack Snyder. It was great to see Zack Snyder, but, you know, all these other panels, like The Hobbit, for example, had a panel. And they brought, like, 8 people, you know. So, that was a big thing. Will Ferrell came and Zach Galifianakis to promote their movie that's coming out in a couple of weeks, The Campaign. And that was cool because it was unannounced. So, and they were just up there like tearing into the audience. It was pretty hysterical.
I must have had the audience barreled over in laughter.
My God. Yeah, it was very funny. We were dying. And then The Hobbit. The Hobbit's a big one. And that's why all the people were camping out.
Yeah.
So they showed like 10 minutes of that. And it looks great. And then Iron Man 3. So... And that was the end of the day. Those were all the panels.
So you did make it into the Iron Man 3 panel?
Oh, once I got in, I was in all day.
Oh, okay. So
all H.
That's the one that you said from Saturday that you went the line for a mile, and you just Hall right. H is where you camped out
all
day.
All day. I sat in there.
They don't serve food in there, do they?
Actually, they do, but the line was pretty hellish. So I managed to get a return ticket to actually leave the hall. And then I ran all the way across the convention center, and I hit the fish taco truck. And I ran all the way back, and I got in because the pass is timed. They give you a certain time limit.
Oh, okay.
So I actually left and got good food and came back.
So do you have to stand back in line, or since you have a pass, you have to walk to the front?
No, well, I was there with Emma, and she was able to save my seat. And so I got her a couple of hot dogs. I got myself a couple of fish tacos, and I was able to get right in.
But you don't have to stand in line again, right? You just go straight to the front?
No, right in.
Okay, cool.
Because if I had to stand in line again, I never would have left. I'd have starved. I'd have been like, okay, I don't care. It's 6 o'clock. I haven't eaten all day, but let's go.
Yeah. So I guess you brought up Iron Man. I can talk. We can. You're a fan of the Marvel movies, I'm assuming, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So we had the news of Iron Man 3, and we got to see his new armor, which I'm sure you saw in person.
I did, actually, yep.
Impressions of it?
I'm glad they brought it out, first of all, because I have to admit to being a little disappointed that they had the Iron Man armors out again, and I just felt like it was 3 years in a row that I had seen them there. So I was just like, oh, man, you know, bring something else or do something else. But then on Sunday, when they actually broke out the new suit of armor and put it in the middle of that row of, like, it's right out of the movies. He's got, like, this lineup of lockers in his work shed, yes, if you will. And they bring that set piece to Comic-Con apparently every year, because I've seen it 3 years now.
They just keep adding whatever new movies come out. They just add the armor from it.
I guess that's the truth. It's very Silver Centurion.
It's going to be like 10 pieces of armor after in the next like 5 years.
Iron Man 8. Yeah, it's coming. So it looked fine. Rhodey's got a new suit of armor too for War Machine. That was very red, white, and blue. Looked a little Iron Patriot.
Yes. People were worried that the Iron Patriot was going to make an appearance, but come to find out it's just War Machine.
I think so. Like, they really don't break it all down for you. They're just showing you clips very kind of rapid fire. So if you've heard definitively that that's War Machine, then that's cool.
That's what I remember reading that weekend, was okay. He was supposed to be War Machine.
Right, okay. Because I did see the armor, and I made the connection that was War Machine. I wasn't sure that was correct.
See, how'd you make the connection? Because you can't release the images I saw. You couldn't release, there was no Gatling gun on his shoulder or anything.
I think it was because they showed Cheadle, and then they went to that.
Oh, okay.
And I think my mind just made the mental leap between one and the other. He and Robert Downey Jr. were so freaking funny together. They were great. They were just teeing off. So that was a lot of fun. The big thing was Ben Kingsley is the Mandarin.
Yes.
And they showed him for the first time. That was very cool to see.
And he was decked out with the rings, or is it 5 or 10 rings? I forget.
He's got 10 in the comics. I'm not sure if they showed all 10. They definitely showed him with a fistful of rings, and then he had the green robes and everything, and kind of like the Fu Manchu, and there was no doubt to what character he was playing. So,
and it's,
all right.
And I heard that they showed some footage from it. I don't know if we should spoil any of it, but at least from what I remember reading, it got me kind of pumped. Did they show the actual footage there when you were in the panel?
Yeah. That's where they do it. There was a couple of things they showed. They showed a test clip that they're doing for Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So Ant-Man is going to be a movie soon, and the way they are playing around with his powers looked really cool, and they showed that off. But then they showed like one scene from Iron Man where he's trying to get his armor on kind of via remote control, if you will.
Yes.
So he's just standing there and the pieces of iron are flying at him from different directions.
Yeah, and that's something they took from the comic book, because they're basically using the extremist storyline where the armor is a part of him and it sort of comes out from his, the chest plate he has on his chest, and it sort of just forms over his body. So the armor flying at him is, I guess, a part of the evolution from it just basically coming out of his pores of his body, so to speak. And we even saw that in the Avengers movie at the end when the armor flew at him and formed around him when he got thrown out the Stark Tower by Loki.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. You're right. So this scene was kind of played for comedy a little bit, because it wasn't finely tuned the process. You could tell it was like his dry run, and the pieces are flying at him too fast, and he's got to, like, deflect them and, you know, dodge them and stuff. So that was pretty funny. And then they went into, like, a more trailer-type pace of showing clips where, you know, the Stark Mansion was under attack by a bunch of helicopters firing mm-hmm. missiles at it. And then they showed Gwyneth Paltrow and War Machine, and then finished up with Kingsley as the Mandarin. So it's cool.
It's funny. I'm sure that footage is online somewhere, and I haven't even gone to look for it.
I don't know if it is or will be. Studios are strange about it. Sometimes they're going to show it at Comic-Con and release it the next day, and then sometimes it doesn't come out for a while. So I'm not sure which the case is Iron Man 3. I know, for example, Oz the Great and Powerful is already online. You know, the new Wizard of Oz movie that Mila Kunis was there to promote. That's already out. Okay. So I don't know about Iron Man, though. Not sure.
So we had Iron Man news, and we also had the long-speculated movie that Marvel had on its, I believe, 2014 docket that no one knew what it was, but it was finally revealed that it was going to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not sure. You know, it looks – let's say it looks a little high concept right now.
We have a doubter.
Well, they didn't have anything except the character sketches. And, you know, we're going to see how audiences take to a talking raccoon with a gun.
Yeah, you know? There's a certain section of the comic book audience that loves Rocket Raccoon. I think it's just seeing a small animal wielding a gun and, I guess, having a foul mouth. I'm assuming he has a foul mouth because I actually haven't read any of the Guardians books. It's on my list of things to do. And actually, probably after the show is over, I'm probably going to try to go online and look some of it up while I'm thinking about it, just so I can familiarize myself with the comic before the movie comes out. But, yeah, that's going to be kind of interesting because it's going to be the Marvel's foray into the cosmic side of their universe. And, of course, trying to tie it all into Thanos, who made his appearance
nice.
At the end of Thor. So, yeah, it's going to – but then I remember people being kind of skeptical of Thor before it came out because they were saying, you know, oh, will audiences enjoy this person that talks like verily and
– forsooth.
Yes, nay. So – but I think Marvel, if they get the right director on it – and I'm also thinking that – you know, a lot of movie will be in CGI since a lot of these characters.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it's got to be almost entirely.
So that makes me think of Green Lantern as far as when Hal Jordan was in space. You know, basically everything except him was CGI'd, even his suit. But I'd be interested to see what they do with it.
It will be interesting. I don't know if it's a safe bet. Let's put it that way.
Well, yeah.
I'm definitely interested. I just don't know that it's, you know.
I think they could take a chance like that because they've got everything else established. So
that's
now,
true.
So now they can sort of go left or, you know, take a stab at the dark and see if, you know, audiences want to see a gun welding raccoon.
Hey, when Avengers makes $600 million, you can do anything you want. They can have any movie they want out there now, you know?
So we had the Guardians of the Galaxy and, of course, the release dates and titles for Thor.
And Captain America 2, yep.
Yep. So Thor, The Dark World, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, and, like you mentioned, Ant-Man round out the Marvel movies coming out within the next 2 years. Captain America, I'm kind of interested in because, you know, the title Winter Soldier obviously shows that the main villain of it's going to be his former partner, Bucky, who he thought died when he fell off the train and I'm assuming got frozen in some type of ice also. But more than likely, they'll just borrow from the comic book story that Ed Brubaker created where he brought back the Winter Soldier or Bucky. And the backstory is Bucky didn't die. He was basically, I guess, kidnapped by the enemy and brainwashed into serving as like a secret soldier, where they send him out onto these missions to take out their enemies. And then once the missions were done, they, I guess, put him in like suspended animation until they needed him again. Then they bring him out. So that's the reason why he's still young as he is when he shows back up in the current time to match.
Right. Cat. And I'm just wondering how well they're going to pull that all off, because I think Bucky had a bigger history in the comics than he did in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was in Captain America 1, but I wonder if there's just a big difference between the knowledgeable comic book fans and the people that watch Marvel movies in the theater. And I wonder how many people, if you ask them, you know, did you see Captain America? And they say yes. And then you ask them, all right, well, who was Bucky Barnes? I just wonder how many people are going to register just from having seen the movie.
Well, yeah. But more than likely, the fans will go back just because it's the sequel to Captain America. And then it's up to the director to make us care about
that's
Bucky.
True.
And I guess there may be some clues as to what happened to Red Skull, or may just try to save that for Captain America 3.
Which will be coming.
Yeah, and Thor, The Dark World, I don't really know much about what that's going to be, except they've already announced that Thor is going to go venture off into some other of the nine realms. Of course, it's Midgard, which is Earth, and Asgard, and where the frost giants lived. That was, I forget the name, exact name.
I do too. I don't know.
So we saw those three in the original Thor. So we'll see some of the other ones in the Dark World. And who knows, we may even see clues as to what happened to the Red Skull, because when he got zapped away by the Cosmic Cube in the first Captain America, it looked like he was taken out by
the Tesseract?
Well, yeah, the Tesseract is the Cosmic Cube, but the Rainbow Bridge, when he got zapped up into the air,
you're thinking he got saved by, like, Loki and the Thor realm?
Well, yeah, supposedly that's because when he got shot into the sky, you know, the sky changed and it showed, like, all the stars and whatnot, and that's the same how the sky looked whenever Thor crossed over back and forth from Asgard to Earth on the Rainbow Bridge.
So, I'm going to have to watch that more carefully preparation for the next one here.
Yeah, check Thor out and look at the stars and everything every time he shot back and forth from Earth to Asgard, and then look at when a Red Skull shot up into the sky by the Tesseract.
All right, will do.
And like I said, Ant-Man. So how did the Ant-Man footage look?
Yeah, it looked really surprisingly good. They showed, you know, because it could be a little goofy. You know, I mean, he just miniaturizes. So aside from espionage, how are you going to make, you know, a miniature man like a superhero?
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of film, and what they showed was they showed him being able to change his size but keep his mass, so he could, you know, he was running and a guy pointed a gun at him and he shrank below the gun, so now, you know, the guy with the gun has no target.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran underneath the barrel of the gun, so now he's within the guy's arm reach, and then he like came back to full size again rapidly. And all that momentum went into a punch, and he knocked the guy backwards. And then, you know, he was fighting two guys. The other guy spun around with a gun, and he disappeared under that again and was miniaturized and got onto the gun barrel and then, like, up behind the guy. And I think he, like, twisted he became large again and just twisted the guy's neck, and he was down. And so just like that, he like completely wasted these two guys like they were nothing. And then he just casually gets on an elevator. And the crowd went nuts. It was actually pretty good.
It's funny, like, all it makes Hank Pym, who is Ant-Man, sound to be like this badass who can whoop some ass, and that's the exact opposite of what I think of Ant-Man right. when I think of him from the comics and cartoon shows he's on now.
They did say one thing, like Robert Downey was asked a question from the audience about the demon in the bottle storyline, and he said that they had talked it over, but it's not that they don't want to do it, they just don't really know how to do it.
Yeah, they said it doesn't really fit into that the world of Tony Stark that they've created for the films.
Right, it's kind of like, so what would they do? They would take, you know, a half an hour interlude when he went off to, you know, the Betty Ford Clinic or what?
Yeah, that sounds too depressing for a superhero movie.
Right.
I mean, yes, we like to see our heroes, you know, knocked down to, you know, they're wallowing in their despair, and it seems like, how would they overcome these odds? But, yeah, taking on alcoholism... You know, save that for intervention on A&E.
Right.
So, that's a little... Okay, so we talked some comic book movie news. What, any big news from the movie panels that you sat in on that you want to talk about?
The other ones? Nothing really in terms of news, per se. I think when you go, you know, for the most part, if they have a panel, it's something that you haven't seen a lot of yet. And they're always bringing you footage, and you get kind of a more complete picture of what the movie's going to be about. Mm-hmm. I think Frankenweenie has a chance to be a lot better than I thought.
So what's that about?
It's the Tim Burton stop motion animated movie.
Oh, the one where he brings his dead dog back to life?
Right. And it looks goofy right now.
Yeah.
Right? Because the trailers just look...
I saw a
really
trailer
kind of,
during Spider-Man, I believe. Amazing
yeah,
Spider-Man.
Yeah, and they're not that great. But he brought a couple of entire scenes, and they looked, you know, kind of creepy for a kid's movie and kind of cool. So my expectations for that have gone up. Lord of the Rings is looking great. The new Hobbit movie, oh my lord. I called it Lord of the Rings by mistake because it looks exactly like
it's just a new Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah, right. But it, you know, the quality of it looks just like it's going to be the same thing.
And that comes out the end of this year, right?
That's a holiday movie, yep.
Yeah, another 3-hour movie to sit through.
Yeah, it's going to be a bomb, for sure.
I mean, I'm going to go see it, but I'm not as, like, hyped about it as every other people.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I think that one's going to be good. I'm a big fan of the first three, so.
So we got that. I found an article. One of my favorite websites is Newsarama.
And okay.
After it was over, they had their 10 biggest Comic-Con announcements. So I figured it'd be nice to maybe run that list.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear what they said.
Okay, first.
Did I guess at a couple?
Sure. Well, you can go ahead and put your guess out now, and then as we go through,
right,
we'll see.
Right, well, yeah, let's see. The Ant-Man movie is happening. It's got to be on the list, right? Mm-hmm. Is it?
I haven't actually gone through the list yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No, okay. I was going to click through
all
it
right,
as
well,
we go.
Then that'll just be the one. I'll just guess that.
Okay, at number 10, they have... Deadpool's got a game, and of course it was announced that the Marvel comic book character Deadpool's getting his own video game.
All right.
So that's number 9.
Very popular among the costume players.
Yes. Number 9 is JMS Ross Wade's legendary status, and I'm not even sure what this is. I guess J. Michael Straczynski, who is Ross?
Alex
Wade.
Ross?
Yeah, Alex Ross, Mark Waid are coming out with some type of book.
Mm.
That's number 8. Okay, here's Avengers vs. X will have consequences.
No, and they say that with every event.
Well, they use consequences in that title because that's going to be the title of a book coming out after Avengers vs. X-Men. It's going to be called A vs. X, AVX Consequences.
Consequences. Ooh.
Yeah, and that's where
let's extend the major event into major event 2.
Well, yeah, they're just, let's see, I'll read a little bit. Though we already know that the end of AVX brings the dawn of the Marvel Now era. Have you kept up with any of that Marvel Now stuff?
I have not. I think I've been out of comics for a good year and a half now, at least.
Yeah, I won't bore you with what they're doing there. But last year, DC Comics rebooted
their
franchise.
New 52.
New 52. So this is Marvel's way of coming out with something big. But they're not rebooting their franchise. They're just rejuvenating their titles by canceling some and starting some over with brand new number ones and switching around to different creative teams on books, like Brian Bendis, who's been writing Avengers for like 10 years, I think, or 8 years.
Yeah.
He's leaving the Avengers books and he's going over to write X-Men, one of the X-Men titles.
Huh. And well, then, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, like a guy on Fantastic Four, Hickman, he's leaving that to go to, I forget what Hickman's drawing now, but yeah, all the teams are like switching stuff up.
Okay, cool.
So that's Marvel Now, and Marvel announced 2 series at Comic-Con that tie even closer to the end of the 12-part Avengers vs. X-Men event. The Kieran Gillen written 5-part AVX Consequences with the ominous cover, and it's just a cover of some characters looking at a chalk outline on the ground, so we get to guess who's the dead person at the end of Avengers vs. X-Men. And as they say, it seems to point to the death of a major character who may or may not be Cyclops. And
yeah, but then they'll bring him back.
Yeah, and A plus X, a team-up series that's essentially the reverse of Fight Book A versus X, AVX versus. Yeah, it's a lot to take in. They also say that Marvel's announcing some other things like Jeff Parker and Hulk becoming She-Hulk, a new Ultimate Comics Iron Man miniseries. So let's see, what's number 7? Number 7 is Tim Drake was never Robin.
And what?
You brought up the DC Universe rebooting their franchise line to all new number ones and starting back over.
And so in the new 52, it's somebody else.
Well, basically Tim Drake was never Robin. And it's funny because when the new 52 started, it's like they couldn't make up their mind. They kind of were writing stuff as on the fly. Because in some books, Batman might be portrayed this way or mentioned that something happened 5 years ago. And in another book, someone else would completely say the opposite. So we had that with going on with Tim Drake. Because Tim Drake, there is no Robin book. Robin is actually Batman's son, Damian Wayne.
Okay.
And Tim Drake is called Red Robin.
Okay.
And he's in the book The Teen Titans. And when the new 52 started, it's going to get all confusing. When the Teen Titans book, they made reference to there being Teen Titans team before this one was formed in the new 52. Basically saying like in the past 5 years there have been had at least been another Teen Titans team, and then they went back and decided, "Nah, that's We don't want it to be that way. This Teen Titans team formed is the first ever Teen Titans, which I guess is fine." So now they're also saying that Tim Drake, I guess, went from finding out Batman's identity to going straight to being Red Robin. So that's
crazy.
How that works. Number 6, Tarantino comics to the DC comics. I guess
he's going to be doing comic books. Holy cow.
Yeah, let me flip through this real quick. Yeah, and I guess they're going to be for DC Comics. Yeah. Number 5, Loeb on Avengers Assemble. Don't panic. Are you a fan of the Earth's Mightiest Heroes cartoon show?
As a matter of fact, I am. I have not seen season 2, but I thought season 1 was awesome.
Yeah, season 2 is pretty nice. And of course, it's been announced that this is the final season for Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and they're going to transition it into a new cartoon show called Avengers Assemble. And basically the reason they're doing that is because they want Avengers cartoon show that mirrors the movies.
Yeah, you know, I get that's fine as long as there's continuity. I mean, again, and I haven't kept up with it, so are they saying they're going to roll one into the other? Kind of like, do you remember in the 90s the DC Universe had, you know, Justice League, and then it rolled into Justice League Unlimited, and really all they did was switch the titles of the show. So are they saying it's going to be something like that?
They're saying that's what's going to happen, but I don't believe it.
All right.
Because there is the Ultimate Spider-Man show is out now, which is a big hit, I suppose. I go back and forth on whether I actually like it or not.
I didn't like the animation style, so I never got into it.
I like the animation, but it's kind of goofy, and there's a lot of like breaking the fourth wall type stuff with it.
Sure, okay.
It's goofy.
Yeah.
Which is some of the stuff I don't like about it. But anyway, I think when Avengers Assemble starts, it's going to be in that same Ultimate Spider-Man universe. Because Marvel produces Ultimate Spider-Man, so they're also going to produce Avengers Assemble. So why not have these two shows take place in the same universe? It just makes sense. And that's another reason why they're canceling Earth's Mightiest Heroes, is because I believe it's not a Marvel created show or produced show.
Okay.
So they want a show under their umbrella.
Right.
But it says, when it was announced earlier in the year that Avengers Assemble would be supplanting beloved animated series Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, a vocal section of fans were not happy, to put it very, very lightly, which is true because I was one of those angry fans. Jeff Loeb had a very clear message to those fans at both the Cup of Joe panel and the Marvel television panel. Don't panic. Loeb compared the switch between the two to when Brian Michael Bendis took over the Avengers comic, suggesting that the shows may exist in the same continuity. We're not in any way saying Earth's Mightiest Heroes never happened, Loeb said. You will see an epic conclusion, and then you'll say, oh, what's next? So I think that's their way of trying to ease the fans. Oh, of course, when this show ends, it's going to transition into the other show.
They're going to always say the right thing and try and knock everybody to freak out.
And hope that we forget that they even said that to begin with.
Right.
Number four is Brian Wood goes from X-Men to X-Wing. Brian Wood is writing a Star Wars comic. But I'm just kind of skipping through, seeing if there's anything to point out. And not really. Let's see, number three. Big names flock to Image. Image is a...
Yeah, I know. Company. I know the old Image there.
Let's see, number two.
Spawn.
Yeah, Spawn and Wildcats and Youngbloods, to name a couple. Number two, Guardians of the Galaxy and Winter Soldier on film. And, of course, we talked about that. And you said Ant-Man, so they mentioned Ant-Man. And number one, Neil Gaiman returns to Sandman. So that's,
really?
Yeah, I never read Sandman, so.
Oh, they're great. They're great. They're really sick. And the reason I'm kind of, I don't know, anytime they reopen these old properties, you know, that were perfect as they were, you get a little, you know, squeamish. And so I would rather see him leave it alone, but it could be good news. I mean, if it's as high quality as the original series got legendary for a reason. Let's put it that way.
Right.
You know, it was really good stuff, man.
Yeah, I've always heard good things about Sandman. I just, when I was collecting comic books growing up, I just stuck to Marvel and the Spider-Man and X-Men series. I didn't really deviate too far from those
lines. This is definitely not superhero stuff. It's really kind of trippy and more mythological almost.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still very kind of sick and hardcore. It's good stuff. It's a high recommendation for you if you do like comics.
Cool.
Check out the first trade, and you can't go wrong. That way, if you like it, you can check it out, and if you don't, it's not that much money.
Yeah. So I guess the final thing we'll get into before I let you go is what fun stories did you have from Comic-Con this year, or even any previous years that you'd like to share?
It's always fun. It's always a trip to just see all the people in costumes and just be there. It's always been great. This year, the highlight, I think, was for the Iron Man 3 panel. I don't know if you saw how Robert Downey Jr. made his entrance.
No, I didn't.
He put on, like, I don't even know what the song is. I got to look the song up. But he put on some serious, like, R&B disco tune. And they dimmed the lights and they put the spotlight way on the back of the crowd. And he came dancing in up an audience aisle right by me.
Oh,
I have aisle seat, and that was the aisle he was dancing up.
See, that's why it pays to have an aisle seat.
Yeah, well, I didn't know it. I wasn't all that happy with my seat up until that point. I was like, these seats kind of suck.
I like aisle seats because you can always get up whenever you want to. You don't have to, like, excuse me, as you try to make your way through
that
people's kneecaps and shins and whatnot.
Yeah, well, and now you got another bonus. You could potentially have an A-list superstar dance right by you. So that was great. But, I mean, it's just always cool to see your favorite stars and directors and whatnot. You know, my list of directors that I've seen at Comic-Con has grown. I've seen Spielberg there and Peter Jackson a couple of times, and James Cameron presented Avatar early, and I saw that. You know, just a lot of cool stuff. So it's always great to be out there. I think that was the fun story, though, for this year.
Nice. Have you ever gotten any autographs from anyone while any of the years you've been?
I have, yeah. No, yeah, I did. This year I got David Hasselhoff.
The Hoff.
I started laughing even before I delivered it, but I couldn't help it. He was going to be there, and I'm looking at the watch. I'm like, he's going to be here in like an hour. Let me just see if they've got tickets. And it was a free autograph. You just had to get a ticket. And the guy at the booth was like, nah, man, we gave away all the tickets. But you know what? You could have mine. And I was like, oh, yes, score.
Nice.
I got to meet Richard Kiel, who played Jaws in the James Bond films.
Okay.
So that was very cool. I got to meet Giorgio Tsoukalos from Ancient Aliens. I don't know if you watched that on the History Channel. That was cool.
Never actually heard of it.
Yeah, it's about how aliens visited us in, like, the the prehistory area, like the around the time of the Egyptians and stuff. It's a cool show. I love it. What else? Who else did I see this year? That was it for autographs this year. But every year there's a couple of them. I've met Leonard Nimoy there, you know, just to get an autograph. That was awesome. Edward James Olmos. There's always an autograph or two available.
Autograph to be found.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
And New York Comic Con is very good for that, too. That's one area where I think that New York Comic Con may actually beat San Diego at. Is I think they really...
More stars.
Well, they more autograph area stuff. You know, I mean, it's one thing. San Diego definitely has the stars for you to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jamie Foxx isn't going to hit the floor and do autographs for an hour. And if he did, there would be a lottery to get to, an autograph.
To get one.
So you need those guys that are like C-level celebs that'll spend the whole day on the floor signing for $30 a cig, you know? And I think New York gathers those folks together a little bit better.
More men and women of the people.
Yeah, exactly. So... But, it was a great time. I really had a lot of fun, man. You should get out one of these days. You should get out and do it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try to next year. I guess the whole having to be online within the first 7 minutes to get a ticket is kind of overwhelming to think about.
Yeah, you definitely got to be ready to take a day off from work.
Getting the day off for work will be easy, but then you got to get the plane ticket and... Where you stay? Where did you stay, by the way?
I did the Marriott because through work, I did a lot of work travel, and I had a Marriott rewards program, and so I've been saving my points, and now I think next year, as long as there's no blackout dates, I can redeem my points and stay out there for free. Okay. Next year, I'm hoping Comic-Con's a very cheap proposition, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine it being very pricey to go and stay and get tickets.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, save up.
Even without spending money out there, because I didn't buy any souvenirs, really, for myself. I didn't spend a lot of money on treats or gifts. Mm-hmm. And I still spend a lot of money just getting out there, staying out there, eating out there. Yeah, so it was tough.
Now I keep thinking of more things to ask. What advice would you give anyone for their first time going?
You gotta try and do some prep work. You gotta try and get the mindset right. It's not really just to go and goof around and, oh, I'll see this and I'll see that and go kind of willy-nilly or just show up. You've really got to kind of try and plan out what events that you want to be at what time and do some coordinating. For example, that Saturday in Hall H, I was in line at 10 after 5 in the morning. You don't just show up for that stuff or you're going to lose. So you have to plan for that, and then that means you got to be in bed early on Friday night. You know, it's tough. You got to do some logistics work prior to.
Was your hotel in walking distance, or did you drive over?
No, I took the shuttle. Oh, I rented a car, but I actually took the shuttle every day.
Yeah, that's convenient.
Yeah, I just thought that I could blog on the way in and out and text and tweet, but the reality is I just collapsed into a heap every day. I was pretty tired. It's a tiring event.
What the average for, like, what time did you get home each night?
It wraps up pretty much early every night. I think the latest that I left was 7 at night.
Oh, yeah, that is early.
Yeah. There's after events and night events. I never attend them.
Yeah.
Because I'm always ready to get back up in the morning and do more.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a blogger and trying to document everything was pretty demanding at night. So I got back to the hotel and did a lot of writing.
You just document everything in your phone when you're there, or did you have pen and paper?
No, I didn't really take any notes. When I was there, I tweeted a lot of pictures. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, one day I hit my Twitter limit, which I didn't know existed.
Yeah, you got put in Twitter jail, huh?
I did. I've never been in Twitter jail before, but now today I was. So, yeah. And then, you know, just from memory, just fire off the story of the day.
Right.
So.
Okay.
That was fun. It was fun.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on tonight and filling us in on everything.
Yeah. It's great to talk to you again.
Yeah. Once again, before we exit out, let people know where to find you at.
I write for FogesMovieReviews.com. It's Dan Fogarty, and my nickname is Fogs, F-O-G-S, moviereviews.com. And I do a weekly movie podcast with Chris Tansky, The Tank, title-pending movie podcast with Tank and Fogs.
Cool. And where can they find you on Twitter?
I'm at Fogs Movie Review, but no S, just singular.
Because there's a Twitter name limit, right?
Damn character limit.
That damn character limit.
Yep.
And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TimDogg98. And, of course, follow the Click Nation account at The Click Nation. And, of course, check out the Click Nation podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and, of course, our website, TheClickNation.com. So with that, I want to, again, thank Fogs for joining us, or joining myself tonight. And that will be it. So have a good night.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
mission. When the war does the mission, not no mercy. See the race like a street. If you don't know, you better find out the war path. Here to prove a point. Number one, best believe that you don't want to test it with them. I'll be there for them. Come in the grave with them. You're never walking out again. So you're back on the war path. Until you're back on the wolf pack, you might wind up in a body bag.